blessing this morning. It's already been good, hasn't it? Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate His love. You got your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3. The book of Ezekiel in chapter number 3. And I've been pondering these thoughts from this chapter. As I look around in the day in which we live, we often see things as believers, and in particular Bible believers, that other people do not see. We're more aware of what's happening, and we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And praise the Lord this morning for the hope that lieth within us in the person of the Holy Ghost. When we got born again, we don't have to worry and fret about the unraveling of this world. And the world is crumbling around us. And I believe with all my heart that one of the most needful things in the day and hour which we live in is what I'm going to preach about this morning. And the Bible says here, let's just read a little bit. Y'all okay with reading? If you're not, I'm doing it anyhow. Verse number 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and I was in, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech." I've seen missionaries use this verse as validation of their call to maybe stay in the States and or to go to Canada if you're from United States. "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." Boy, the Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Verse 7, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." That word impudent just means, it means shameless. I looked it up in the 1828 dictionary this morning. That's what you do when you don't understand what a word means in your King James Bible. You look it up, you don't throw it away and get a new version. Amen. I don't think anybody's doing that this morning, but that's the argument. Impudent means shameless and lacking modesty. Verse 8, "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant, harder than flint. Have I made thy forehead, fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You don't quite understand verse 9 until you've stood here and tried to preach or teach. You do get some looks. Amen. Verse 10, "Moreover," like right now. Sunday morning is a tough crowd, y'all. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak with thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, refuse. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tilabib that dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, here's our text this morning. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth. And look at the job of the watchman here. Give them warning from me. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou shalt not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he's warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. This morning I want to preach to you on the subject of the warning of a watchman. The warning of a watchman. We find here in this chapter that God sets up a watchman and sends a watchman to the nation of Israel to do exactly what he is called to do, and that's two things. He is to watch and he's to warn. That watchman is a called individual. He is a called man. According to verses 5 and 6, we find that he was sent not to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but God sent him, called him, verse 5, to the nation, to the house of Israel. Verse 6, he was not sent to a people of a strange language, but he was sent to people that would not hearken to him. It's amazing how God knows that people will not listen, or they will not hear what their ears have heard. They will not heed to these things, and yet God still sends a watchman to watch and to warn. In verse number 11, he said, go get thee. Isn't that the way God does it with his man? He doesn't ask him his opinion about it. He does not ask him how he feels about it. But God just simply comes to the watchman because he's called by God, and God says, go get thee to them of the captivity, in verse 11, and unto the children of thy people. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 21, 6. He said, go set up a watchman and let him declare what he seeth. You see, he is to watch and he is to warn. He's a called man. Not only that, he is a controversial man. According to verse number 9, the Bible says, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. It is very controversial to declare what you see, and that's what a watchman does. He stands on a watch, he sits on a wall, and he's simply stationed there to look out for anything that might destroy the people. He is to watch and he is to warn because he's called, and it is a very controversial position, and yet it is set up by God. They see things that the common man cannot see. That's why it is so controversial. You say, I just don't see what the preacher was talking about. That's because you're not a watchman. A watchman is elevated. He can see further. He can see different angles and different things that are coming. That's why God put him in our life. The watchman or the preacher today, the man of God, the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, they are watchmen that are called by God, and they are put in a very controversial place because God even had to remind the watchman, be not dismayed at their looks, because the truth is, people do, amen, respond to how people are looking at them. Can you imagine? If I just sit here this morning and look at faces, I try not to look people directly when I preach because I don't want you to intimidate me. So when I preach, I'm looking, but I just see men as trees. I don't really focus on anybody in particular this morning, but if I did, you'd be surprised what you might see. He said, don't be dismayed at their looks, because it's controversial and it's also consequential. It's not popular. It's misunderstood. It's talked about. It's underappreciated in its position. It's underpaid. It's undermined many times. I've heard people say, well, I just don't see that, therefore I'm not going to heed. Well, listen, the watchman is simply to watch and warn. He's not to try to get anybody to do anything. It's now and those individuals that he's warning and watching over to respond correctly. And he deals with that in the text of Scripture in verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. He says to warn them, but if they don't heed, hey, their blood is off of your hands. That's what a man of God, that's what a watchman is to do. And yet it is a very consequential position. But it's also, there is some consolation in having a watchman in your life. As I was reading this chapter, I stopped for sake of time. But look, if you will, in verse number 6. He tells him, he said, I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth. He's talking to the watchman here. That thou shalt be dumb. The word dumb just means to be silent. And shalt not be to them a reprover. Listen, there is consolation in the fact this morning that God so far has not made the tongue of my in my mouth cleave to the top of my mouth. Amen? Now you say, you're still dumb. Well, I'm not silent. I may be dumb as in dumb to some people. But you know, the truth is this morning, God said, hey, I'm going to put your tongue's going to cleave to the roof of your mouth. You're going to be silent because you're not going to be a reprover unto them for their rebellious house. You know, that's not a good thing. When God has a watchman and he causes him not to do what he's called to do, and that is to warn, it is not a good thing. There is consolation this morning, even if you're guilty. Even if you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing, according to the text of Scripture, talking about a wicked man and a righteous man living in sin, having sin in his life, and God sets a watchman to warn him, but you're in bad, bad shape this morning if God causes a watchman to be dumb and silent before you, so you have no chance to even hear the warning of a watchman. A watchman's called, he's controversial, he's consequential. But there is some consolation this morning in being a watchman. And so this morning I want to be a watchman for you a little bit. In application this morning, I want to just be that watchman sitting on the wall in your life. As I look out in the day in which we live in, and I see and have in my own life and even the lives of others illustrations that we can glean from, I want to say, number one, as a watchman, a warning of a watchman, I want to say this. Don't be like Jonah and run from the will of God for your life. Don't be like Jonah this morning and run from the will of God in your life. You know, that's a pretty dumb statement, isn't it? That anybody would actually think that you can run from God. I mean, in reality, really. I've been walking before. I like to walk. I try to walk every day, at least 2-3 miles, and when I can, sometimes twice a day, take my dog out. And man, there's times when somebody will have their house open. You know, it's normally some elderly person. And you got this dog that's 27 years old and half blind, full of the devil. Amen. Probably named Jezebel. Weighs about 2.5 pounds. Amen. Barks and thinks it's a German shepherd. And there's a little chihuahua come running after me. Now listen, I very rarely get away from the chihuahua. Why in the world would you think, amen, you can't get away from a dog, much less God this morning, running from the will of God for your life? Turn your Bible to Jonah chapter number 1, to the book of Jonah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah, if I can find it this morning. Jonah chapter number 1. Here's what Jonah did, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice what happens whenever you flee from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, and went down. You know, it's always a downward spiral in your life when you run from the presence of the Lord. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he went and paid the fare thereof. And that's exactly what happens when you run from the will of God. It costs you something. He had to pay the fare thereof, and he went down. There he is. His life is still going down into it, to go from the presence of Tarshish unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice the Bible says that God told him to go, and he used to cry against it, and he runs from God, and we know the rest of the story, that a great fish comes and swallows him up, and Jonah dies there, and he's belched up there on dry land. And then in chapter 3, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, aren't you thankful this morning for a God of a second chance, and a God of a third chance, and a God of a fourth chance? And some of y'all, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 chances, amen? Well, thank God for a God that still has patience with us this morning. But I want to say, as a watchman, don't be like Jonah and run from the will of God for your life. Everybody has the will of God for their life. It's different in every individual, but what is it in your life? What is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God's told you to do? What is it that God's told you to give up? Where has God told you to move to? What has God told you to give? Where has God told you to go? What has God told you? You say, I haven't heard from God. You're running this morning. You know, if you're a child of God, you know the voice of God. And yet so many have justified the fact that they're out of the will of God. Listen, and they're substituting that which is the will of God for something that's good in life. But listen, when the good takes place of the will of God for your life, it's no longer that which is good. And Jonah went, he ran from God, and God came to him, amen, and dealt with Jonah. And thank God for the dealings of God in our life. And I remember I had a good friend of mine, Brother Robert Kitchen. Robert Kitchen, we went to school together. He was a God-called preacher. And Robert Kitchen, after we went through school there in 2009, he looked at me and he said, I'm going to join the army. I said, Brother Robert, you're not called to be a soldier in America. You're called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I told him my story about how I wanted to join the Marine Corps when I was 17 and turned to 18 years old, and how that God had called me to preach, and how I had justified it in my own mind. And I got up that morning and I told him about how my Bible reading was in 1 Kings 13 about that man of God, that young preacher that was duped by that, lied to by that older preacher there. And we find at the end of his life, because he disobeyed God, he disobeyed the will of God for his life, we find him that he's laying there in the streets. He's lifeless because he got careless. And now he's useless, with a lion and a donkey standing there in the streets next to him as an open example. And I told Brother Robert Kitchen this. And of course, when people make up their mind to do something, it's like talking to a fence post. And he went and he joined the army. And man, I got news just a year or two after he joined him, that his life was a wreck. He was influenced by that environment. And it was not a good thing. He went down, down, down like Jonah did from the presence of the Lord. Man, I got good news. Amen. Thank God. God is a God of second chances. Because Brother Robert got right with the Lord there in El Paso, Texas, where he was stationed, and got out of the army. He went back to school. He said, man, I feel like I just need to go back. Went to Heartland Baptist Bible College, and I'm not necessarily for a Bible college this morning, unless it's where God tells you to go. He said, I'm not necessarily going there to learn the Bible. He said, I just want to go there for discipline, to finish what I started. And man, he went back through and graduated, and now is on deputation right now with his family as a missionary to Germany. But you know what he did? He wasted 10 years of his life running from the will of God. Now, I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning that is the testimony of your life. What is it that God has told you to do? And you've tried to be like Jonah and run from the presence of the Lord. What a bad trade this morning. My friend Mike Kennedy, I've told y'all about him, but I was thinking about him this week as I was preaching there in Canada. And there was a young man there that was just about in the same situation as my friend Mike. Brother Mike Kennedy sat on the front row of our church. I'll never forget Brother Mike. The best church member at Bible Baptist Church in Durant, Oklahoma. Changed the lights, went on bus visitation, preached in the nursing homes, ran the bus route, sat on the front row. One of the biggest givers to missions. Was there at 5 o'clock every Sunday morning to start the coffee pot, prayed over the missionary letters. I'd go in, come in. He would have his hands on the mission boards with tears running down his face, praying for those missionaries. Running from God. I'm talking about running from God this morning. A good man. He had marriage problems. He got married to this girl that went to an apostolic church down the road. She started coming to our church so she could find her a husband. Because none of them Pentecostals wanted her as a wife, amen. I knew who she was. She came over there and acted like she was one of us. You know how people do. They come in and kind of blend in and act like, man, we're one of y'all now. That's what she did. Man, my pastor, Brother Mark Wesley, I'll never forget. He said, listen, Mike, you're making a mistake. Do not marry this girl. Do not get married to her. She will not serve the Lord with you. She'll be a boat anchor around your neck. She'll drag you down. She'll keep you from the will of God. He would not listen and he ended up marrying her. And exactly what the pastor, the watchman, warned about is exactly what happened. She left the church, went back down to her mama's church down the road. I'm talking about 2 miles down the road. Victory Life Church, Apostolic Church. He was left sitting there on the front row, like Brother Robert sitting right here. Right there with a grieved heart, wanting to serve the Lord. God called him to Canada. He couldn't go because of his wife dragging him down. Missionaries would come through, show their slides, and he'd sit there, his heart would break, as God would tug on his heart. I'm talking about Brother Mike Kennedy, my good friend. A little girl came in the church there and showed him some attention, and we had a Christmas play, and they started practicing their lines together, you know, trying to learn. A girl by the name of Sherry, she came in there, and one thing led to another, and they began to get closer and closer. By the way, girls and guys cannot be close friends. Amen. I mean, some of y'all might not agree with it. It's a recipe for disaster. No, they're just my friend. You're going to get yourself in trouble, friend. You're not married. Amen. You can't have best friends with the opposite gender. But he thought he could, and one thing led to another. They ended up committing fornication, adultery. And then he got depressed the fact that he messed up. Instead of just getting right with God, started drinking. Went to the booze and... I remember Brother Mike came to our wedding, went right out here, drove all the way up here, had liquor on his breath when he got here. I could smell it on him. Sat right out here under the tent, drove all the way from Oklahoma, because he's my friend. He came to watch me and Kathleen get married. Life was a wreck. I tried to talk to him about getting right with God. He's running from the will of God. I'm talking about saved. Love the Lord. Faithful. Brother Mike went up to see his sister there in Oklahoma City and went by the liquor store, got him a bottle of vodka. Was sitting there drinking at public intoxication. The police came by and arrested him for drinking on the streets there. Took him to the local jail there in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I don't know all the events that took place, but I know the first night in jail, the first night that Brother Mike Kennedy was there, he ended up getting assaulted by some of those inmates in that jail cell. They took him to the local hospital there and he went and undergo surgery and he died on the operating table. I'm talking about running from the will of God. A man that had it all going for him. Listen, he would not heed to the watchman in his life. Don't be like Jonah, running from the will of God for your life. I wonder this morning how many souls will be in hell because somebody ran from the will of God. I wonder how many churches will never get started because some man ran from the will of God. I wonder how many young men will never get trained because a man ran from the will of God. And they said there's too much blood, there's too much sweat, there's too much tears. Listen, I wonder what would have happened to Nineveh if Jonah would have despised the wooings of God had would not have gotten right with the Lord, if Jonah had not went to Nineveh, I wonder what would have happened to Nineveh. Destruction. Because one man, just one man, just one woman, ran from the will of God. Are you running this morning from the will of God for your life? Watchmen, warn those that are like Jonah, running from the will of God for their life. Running from the will of God for your life. I got five other points this morning, but I think I'm just going to be done right there. The will of God. What's the will of God? I'll tell you what the will of God for your life is this morning. The will of God for your life is get born again if you've never been saved. You say, what's the watchman to do here in verse number 18? When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. That's what he's to say. To that person that's without Jesus Christ, that person that's lost, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. This morning, don't run from the will of God for your life. Get saved and serve the Lord. This is the greatest life. This is the best life that you'll ever live. It's the life lived for God. You know, the far country, listen, it's a lie. It's a lie. The far country is a lie. There's no pleasure in this world that could even compare to this life. To get born again. To go to bed at night sober. What a blessing. No headache. To go to bed at night with the peace of God in your heart. To go to bed at night and knowing that God is smiling upon you. Not having to live a life of regret. Trying to drown your sorrows that you created in the far country. Finding out in the morning that your sorrows can swim. Listen, the drug addict has to get more because it does not satisfy. Why do you think people go from one individual to the other chasing immorality? I'll tell you why. Because immorality, you know what immorality is? Immorality is just bad timing. It's bad timing. You see, timing does matter. You're taking that which is good, that which God gave you, and you're doing it in the wrong time. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You say, I've gotten by with it. No, you hadn't. Listen, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are you running from this morning? What are you running from? Are you running from God and salvation? Are you running from a life of sanctification? Are you running from a life of service? What are you running from this morning? As a watchman stands on the wall. And we'll do it tonight again. A watchman will stand back up and preach. We'll do it Wednesday night. It happened at 10 o'clock with Brother Tim. A watchman stood up and preached to you and warned you. What will you do with the words of a watchman as he warns and he watches over your souls this morning? A watchman never left the wall and made anybody do anything. You know what he did? He watched and he warned. And that was it. And it was up to the people. And God never forced himself upon anybody. That's the wonderful thing about our God. He's a perfect gentleman, isn't he? He won't come to you this morning and drag you. But you know what he will do? He'll send the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. And he'll walk up and down the aisles and through the pews. And he'll stop. And with a still small voice, he'll talk to you. And I want to encourage you, as a watchman on the wall this morning, to say yes to the wooings of the Holy Ghost. And stop running, but respond to God this morning. Respond to God. This world's a wreck, isn't it? Disaster. And the only thing that matters in this life is to get saved and serve God. Pretty simple, isn't it? And yet so many are not doing it. So many are not doing it this morning. Father, Lord, I only preached one of my points this morning. But Lord, I pray that you'd help those that are running this morning from God. Maybe somebody here lost without Jesus Christ. Maybe, Lord, somebody that you've called to preach that's running from it. Lord, maybe somebody here that's just backslid and gone off to the far country like the prodigal son, running, Lord, wasting their substance on righteous living. Lord, being devoured with harlots, God, as the text says there in Luke 15. I pray that you'd help them this morning to find a place and, Lord, to heed the wooings of the Holy Ghost and the warning of a watchman. Father, thank you, Lord, for the watchman that you set over my life. Lord, when I was a little boy, God, where I got saved, I heard the gospel and got born again. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the watchmen that are represented here at the Shady Acres Baptist Church. What a blessing it is to have some men to stand and God and warn us. And Lord, to see not only their day, but Lord, to see our day. And God, the days are evil and they're waxing worse and worse. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to love preaching and love the truth. Help us to stand, and God, help us to be, Lord, what you'd have us to be in these crazy days. Lord, we thank you. We love you this morning. Thank you, God, for the good service already. It's been good to be in the Lord's house. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Gary?
Come on, stand. Hymn number 306 in your soul, sir.
306 this morning. If you'd like to come this morning and pray and heed the words, the warning of the watchman. Oh, there's so much more we could have said. But if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, why don't you come? Step out of your pew this morning and come. Don't go to hell. Don't refuse the Holy Ghost. Don't say no to God. Why don't you step out? If you're running in the far country, running away from God, sowing your wild oats. Listen, reaping day is coming. David sinned, and it was years in David's life before he reaped what he sowed in the lives of his own children. It didn't happen immediately. Why don't you come and pray and ask God, Lord, I pray, God, for mercy. Lord, I deserve judgment. I deserve a whooping. I deserve a licking. Lord, would you please have mercy upon me? Live for God. Get saved and serve the Lord. What a life. What a life. Greatest life you ever lived. Don't run from God. Humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Weary,
help me.
If you need to come, get saved, get born again. Listen, we're not about to close it down. If you're going to come, we'll keep singing.
Hear me, Savior divine.
We'll sing one more verse. Sinner friend, this verse is for you.
Have thine own way, O Lord, I need absolute sway. Christ only.
Don't be like Jonah and run from the will of God. Don't be like Demas and return back to the world. Don't be like David and reap the consequences of sin. Don't be like Saul, regretting the life you lived. Don't be like the prodigal son, rebelling against the father. Amen. We're going to have a baby dedication. What a blessing. Amen, Brother Chris, Miss Lydia.